Welcome into Baltimore Sports Today, the daily podcast from the Baltimore Sports Report Network. This is episode 300 for Monday, September 12th. Yeah, 2016. I'm Zach Will from BaltimoreSportsReport.com, and Jabby Burns has put up with my crap for 300 episodes. I don't know that anybody would be crazy enough to do that, so thank you, Jabby Burns.
thank you, sir. I think it right back at you, because you've had to put up with me, I think, more than – plus I went and invaded your house. I mean, we've become way too close now, so I think it's about time you cut the cord. And this morning I thought you were cutting the cord. I thought it was over. I thought you ran away finally, and I thought we were done, but I knew you'd come out of nowhere. This is a perfect show for 300, Zach. I got the Dumb Dong Banny, who's basically part of the show, laying here right next to me. So I would imagine at some point he'll get up and bark, as he likes to do, right in the middle of a good point you're bringing up. But no, I'm very happy. I couldn't be happier to be working with a partner like yourself. We're starting to disagree a lot, which I'm starting to like a little bit more in this show, which is good, because it's boring to just, you know, agree. But the one thing I will say to everybody listening to the 1 and 9s, and first of all, we can't do this without you guys, because without you guys listening and actually reaching out to us and stuff, I mean, it really, really, I don't know, it tickles the cockles, the heart. You know what I mean? Like, it just
makes it a lot. Yeah.
We do a lot of bad shtick on this show, and, you know, I say some things that maybe we should probably edit occasionally, but I'll tell you this, guys. I really, really enjoy doing this, and, you know, it's basically out to you guys. And if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to echo that for sure. It's a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed the interaction from people. I mean, nothing feels better than Jab. I mean, you and I talk about sports all the time, right?
We do.
But nothing feels better than when we sit down and talk about sports and then actually getting responses from people about some of the things that we talk about and having a conversation with the 1 of 9. So I love it. I love hearing from people about anything.
Yeah.
Hearing from people about, you know, my choice in fall lattes and
got a lot of run
on my take on Dan Duquette and why I'm right over Jab. So
yeah.
I love hearing all of that stuff. So please keep it coming. And thanks for, 300 episodes, man. Because we would not have made it to 300 had we not had, you know, the engagement from the audience. So
no,
really
I agree with
it.
You. We would be doing it for you and I. We'd just have tapes that we continue to send to radio stations. They continue to turn us down. But at some point, Zach, if we get to like 500, maybe the program director will say, hey, maybe these guys are pretty good. We can put them on.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, you know who was good yesterday, Zach? Your Baltimore Ravens. My Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens.
I threw a Ravens party yesterday, everybody out there, and there's pictures to see it, and they won't be going out there on the social networking at all. But yes, we had the little neighborhood party at our house, so I got to watch the Ravens game from start to finish. And listen, I'm a baseball guy, you're a baseball guy, we've said that ad nauseum, but you know what? There's nothing better than the beginning of football season, whether you're into DraftKings, like I told Zach before the show, I was in 13 contests yesterday. I don't have a problem. Or, you know, your regular fantasy league, or if you have children's like my kids who like baseball a lot, but they're really – Jackson, especially my son Jackson, really likes football, the idea of, you know, the season starting. He's a Cardinals fan somehow, which is fine, but they also root for the Ravens. But in general, I just love the feel of it. You got that first red zone, and that thing counts down. I'm getting steamed up for the red zone. So I had the red zone up for a little bit, and then the Ravens game up, had a couple TVs set up. And, of course, I had the Orioles on once that started up too, which we'll get to today. Don't think we won't. We'll talk in Orioles for sure. But, Zach, I thought the game itself, I'll put it this way. The Bills are bad. The Ravens were rusty, but we'll take the W.
Yeah, hey, a 13-7 victory. It was exactly like we predicted, Jab,
in our one-hour
preview show. Yeah, yeah, the over. You know, we predicted that the strong Baltimore defense would limit the Buffalo Bills to 160 total yards. And we were all over that. We knew for sure that you know they would be the only team in the NFL to limit their opponent to not reaching double digits. We were all over that.
Yeah, and I was all over Sharice Wright too, man. That guy sucks. That guy played one of his best games as a pro. So the crow is right inside my mouth, Zach, when I talk about him. And if it took him listening to this show to get fired up and make 11 fantastic tackles, 3 of them behind the line of scrimmage, come up, play the run like a former Raven, like Chris McAllister or even Dwayne Starks, if you want to go back too far.
Wow, good names.
I thought he was fantastic. He was he'd be my game ball on the defensive side for sure.
Fewest yards allowed by the Ravens since 2011. Fewest points given up by the Ravens in an opener since 2011 as well. So, we nailed the defense. Eric Weddle told everybody after the game today was a glimpse of what we can become, and that gives our defense some confidence for the future. is this a stronger defense than we predicted? We'll talk about the rusty offense in a minute, but I want to start with the defense because they totally deserve the credit for limiting the Bills to, you know, what they did, just 160 yards and, you know, 7 points. But is this defense better than what we predicted, you know, after week one, or does this tell you a little bit more about how bad the Bills offense is?
I think it's a mixed bag for me. They're going to get Doomerville back at some point. It's going to help. Suggs actually looks a little lighter, too. I don't know if he lost some weight before the season or what, but I thought he looked a little lighter on his feet. I thought Timmy Jernigan, is that how you say his name? Timmy? Up front there.
Jernigan.
Yeah. He was really good. Very active. Three behind the line of scrimmage type deals. And again, a lot of that has to do with the Bills. The Bills' offensive line was a sieve. They really were bad. Tyrod Taylor was running for his life. And I will say, Tyrod, if it was another, like, let's call a statuesque tight quarterback, like, let's say, RG3 next week, in the pocket, they would have had a bunch of sacks. Now, Tyrod Taylor's very elusive, was able to move around a little bit, made some plays downfield. But overall, the Ravens really, really clamped down. Third down conversions are something I look at. First thing I'll ever look at when I look at stats. And the Ravens got, I think it were 3 for 13. Third down efficiency. The Bills were 3 of 13 on third down. I think that's huge because you turn the ball back over to the other side. The Ravens on the other side were 6 of 15. So they were able to be able to convert a little bit on offense. But Zach, I think it's the mixed bag. Like I said, I think the Bills offense is pretty putrid. I thought Jimmy Smith did a really good job
on
Sammy
Smith
Watkins.
Great. Yep.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins I had in almost every one of my lineups because I thought that he was going to at least get one deep touchdown. But I thought they kept a really good job of keeping him in there. Weddle was fine. I think the biggest thing for Weddle is that he gets that defense in order. How many times did you see last year, Zach, where guys are looking around like, what are we in? What set are we in? What are we doing? They didn't have it. Weddle will get those guys all together. So I have to say he was a big I thought he was a big like leader in the back there, especially with that young secondary. But in general, I thought the linebackers played average. I thought up front I would have given those guys a B+. I thought up front they really had a good push on that. And then the secondary, you give up 7 points. I don't care who you are in this league.
Yep.
That's really tough in a league that's dying for people to get a bunch of points. Just look at all the scores from yesterday. So I thought it was a mixed bag, but I'm going to give props to the Ravens. I'm not sure that this defense is going to be the 2001 Ravens by any stretch, but maybe they're a little better than at least I thought.
Yeah, same. I love hearing things like Jimmy Smith talking about after the game how fast they were because, you know, Dean Pease streamlined the scheme. I love hearing that. Really, really strong game planning. I thought the Ravens, you know, they really limited the Bills' double moves. Tyrod Taylor, he only attempted 5 passes of more than 10 yards downfield, Jeff. That's unbelievable. Was not anticipating
pressure.
That at all. And yeah, a lot of pressure. They, you know, were really effective against the Bills' attempts to run on the edges, which, you know, they struggled with last year, and the Bills were good at last year. So overall, I mean, really impressive. You know, I think that week one, you have so much time to game plan against your opponent. You know, that's a huge part about playing in week one. You really know what to expect and what to anticipate. And I thought that the defense just fired on all cylinders. So tip my cap to them.
Yeah.
And the Bills look bad. So that adds to a grand total of 7 points for their offense and the Ravens defense, maybe being a little better than we had anticipated. So. Great
Absolutely.
News. Great
yeah,
news.
That was great news.
The offense scored just 13 points. I do think they'll be better. I thought we saw some flashes of, you know, at least from the beginning of the game, I was thinking, wow, this is here we go with the Ravens offense. It's going to be exciting. Got to see our guy, Breshad Perriman, make a nice big catch for 35 yards. That was super exciting.
Helps your average.
Helps does help your average. Mike Wallace was a huge factor in this one. Dennis Pitta had 3 catches, so
big one too. I thought a huge one when he just got crushed too. I got to the point where it was late in the game where he made a play between a couple defenders, Zach, and I thought, oh, that's Max Williams, and he got up and it was 89. And I was like, wow. I mean, think about all those things this guy's been through.
Yeah.
I think that was a huge play. Plus, it was a huge play. It was a third down play, and Flacco, who does he trust more than anybody on that field right now, is Dennis Pitta. So he went back to his boy. On Flacco real quick, I think Flacco looked rusty. I do. I think he looked a little toe tapping. Doesn't want to really move up. He's really much better at stepping into the pocket. I felt like he kind of, I mean, he had that one fumble, but overall, I mean, you look at his numbers, 23 of 34, 258, a touchdown, no interceptions. Now I know, like I said, he had that fumble and he got sacked 4 times, but overall, you'll take a quarterback rating of little under 100. And I think for Joe, it's all about W's. The running game left a lot to be desired for me.
Yeah.
I know Terrence West got a big first down late in the game that sealed the game. I understand he got the most. He got 12 carries. Justin Forsett got 10 carries. But overall, I thought the running game was kind of the best plays they had, Zach, were like that jet sweep, I like to call it, where they kind of run a guy in motion and then actually hand it off to him. Yeah. I feel like that's becoming very popular. It's a college play. That's the NFL
season.
Isn't
that an old school kind of? I seem to remember that like in the old school days of the NFL.
Yeah.
Like when I first started watching the NFL.
Yeah, you want to get the ball in the guy with the most speed usually, and if you got that guy already with some momentum and you're able to kind of get him to go that way, and then after a while there is a play action off that where maybe you hit the tight end on the other side there. So
that's setting
things up there. But overall, I thought the offense was – I'd have to give the offense honestly a C. I mean, you score 13 points in this league. Now Buffalo was, you know, been able to get some pressure on the Ravens, and those two rookies on the left side, Zach, they had some miscues. What are you going to do? It's your first NFL game. Overall, I mean – I wouldn't be that upset if I was a Ravens, especially with the fact that you get the W at home and then you get to go play maybe the RG3-less Cleveland Browns next week. Because I know you're shocked by this. RG3 hurt his shoulder.
Yeah, I was stunned to see that Bob Griffin with an injury already in week one. And I'm getting the updates on the phone about how he expects to play in week two against the Ravens. So
all about him.
Oh, man, that's great. How's that new blonde girlfriend he's got going on there in Cleveland?
Yeah, it's got a tattoo on her arm. So
it's going pretty well. I feel like, Jav, every Monday you and I are going to sit down here and be like, okay, Wes got 12 carries and Forsett got 10. So, you know, we're going to overanalyze who's getting more of the carries every single week, because I think that's just what we're going to end up doing. Really, for me, as far as the offense goes, it was awesome to see Mike Wallace have the type of game that he had, because I know a lot of people have, you know, kind of written him off at age 30 and coming off career lows in receiving yards last year. He had 473 and just two touchdowns. You know, he came into Baltimore and said, you know, that he's going to have the last laugh here, and that's awesome. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad he's fired up and, you know, frustrated with the critics writing him off, and hopefully he'll be a big factor here for the offense. And Joe kind of using those new targets is exciting for what to come. Still just 13 points. Running game's got to get it done a little bit better than they did. I think they will. And Flacco, you know, we talked about it in our preview show. Obviously coming off the injury, but even in the 10 weeks leading up to the injury was not effective for the Ravens last year. And he's got a lot to prove, I think, in coming back from that injury and a bad performance as well. He was 23 for 34, threw for 258 yards, a touchdown, no interception. Wasn't horrible, but you know, 65.3 quarterback rating, when it was all said and done.
I thought Joe was, you know, it was fine. I think that throw, I like to see a little, I always like to see Joe get some emotion, because he doesn't show it very often. That's just not who he is. But that throw to Wallace, and when Wallace went to the house, you see Joe just sprinting down there all fired up. I thought that was kind of something that he's been waiting for a while. I don't think you haven't heard much from Joe. You know, when he actually does his rehab, he doesn't make it all about him and post pictures and everything like other quarterbacks in the league. He just does his work, man. I love that guy, man. And he's just so cool, calm, and collective. And I understand he's got a lot of detractors that think that you know, he doesn't move very well, he doesn't move, you know, in the pocket very well, it makes him dumb throws sometimes, throws off his back foot, yada yada yada. Sorry, Joe Flacco is he's a top flight quarterback in this league, and you know, I'll take 23 of 34 for 258, one long touchdown, and a W every single time, and twice on Sundays, because I just really like what he did. And you know, I think that basically, to me, to wrap this up, Zach, the Ravens did what they needed to do. They took care of business. They won a game that maybe last year they would have lost.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree.
One of those games where, you know, it got close and you kept thinking, well, I know that, you know, they should have scored instead of kicking the field goal, but hey, they went and kicked the field goal. Now the Bills, who hadn't done anything all day, got to go the whole length of the field against a defense that was really doing a good job. So I think that's what you could take out of it, that the Ravens won a game that maybe last year they wouldn't have won. So it's 1-0 and off to Cleveland.
Yeah, off to Cleveland. So we'll have a full preview of that on Friday's Baltimore Sports Today. We'll have a better understanding of you know, what the Ravens should expect against Cleveland, whether Bob Griffin's going to suit up and play. So we can talk a little bit about that a little bit later in the week. And of course, we'll keep you updated throughout the week on the, you know, the latest Ravens news. So football's back, and we got you covered on Baltimore Sports Today. Don't you worry.
Yeah, definitely don't worry. But don't even worry about another team, Zach, because there was another team that played yesterday in a game that, in my opinion, was a little bit bigger than the first game of the NFL season
for
the Ravens.
I know. This
Our boy Chris Tillman back in the mix. Man. Every pitch, Zach, I was staring. How's he look? What's the body language? I mean, I felt like Richie Bansells. I was staring at him so much. But Chris Tillman went out there, and I don't care if the guy's the dumbest thing in the world. That guy can come out and pitch like a mother. Pitched his tail off. And do we own the Detroit Tigers at this point, Zach?
Does feel that way, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. I think the ALDS kind of set that up, and in the back of my mind, well, I wonder if in the back of their mind they feel that way, you know, if Brad Ausmus feels that way, if Justin Verlander, who's been really good this year and ends up giving up home runs to Michael Bourne and Jonathan Scope, feels like, man, just can't freaking beat these guys. They storm into Detroit and take two out of three and two really solid wins. Yeah, it does feel that way, and this was a huge series. Sunday was a huge game. They really stepped up, and you know, Jab, when guys like Michael Bourne and Ubaldo Jimenez are two of the names that you know, you come away and say their performance is part of the reason that the Orioles took two out of three in a game that is really important for their playoff hopes.
Yeah,
it just sort of feels like, you know, the stars are aligning for the Orioles. I mean, because when things like that happen, it's hard to think that I don't know that it's not going to work out for them.
Well, here's you want to get some stats for you.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this is just, I got this right at the end. You know, I'm on that terrible text party, the Orioles text party, and you know how many text parties I'm on because you're on like half of them. And so here's the thing I got, and I thought it was really made some good sense. It's a guy, my boy Jim Sylvester. He's also my weather guru, and he's at Jim Silver 410 on Twitter, and also with 109s. He listens and he's spreading the word for us as well.
Love it.
Here's how big this weekend was. If the O's go 500 the rest of the way, they finish with 88 wins. Tigers and Yankees would have to go 13-7 to finish ahead of the Orioles. Order your playoff tickets. Now, I've already ordered my playoff tickets. I sent a big fat check to the Orioles last week. Don't know what I'm getting. I just sent the money as I always do. I don't know what comes back. But I'll tell you this, Zach. I think that really shows that let's just look at the kind of like rest of the year. We got 19 games left as we're recording tonight. Eight of those games are against the Diamondbacks and Rays at home. Right? Don't remember, is it a 4-game series with the Arizona, or is it three? It might be three.
Let me check.
It might be seven, because I know we got the Rays coming up this weekend for four. But
three
again,
against
let's
the
not
D-backs.
All right, so seven of those games right there, I think at home against those terrible teams. And again, Arizona's going to fly out here, and they could care two S's about that series at all. I'd be surprised if Goldie even makes the trip, because that's just such a terrible job by the scheduling. I'd be so salty if the Orioles were going to, say, Arizona, you know, the week before the season. But that's whatever. Everybody's playing wherever. Dodgers are playing in New York tonight. I just feel like if they can get, let's say, 5 of 7. Let's not get crazy. Let's just say 5 of those, right? And then kind of do what they've been doing. Take a couple series that they're here and there. Let's get two or three from the Red Sox, and let's, you know, take care of business against Tampa. And, you know, we still got some games against the Yankees and Toronto, of course, and Boston. But I think, Zach, I think it's not crazy that the Orioles could finish with 500 or even higher than that at this point with 19 games left. I mean, I still think the division's attainable. I don't think it's crazy. But I think a playoff spot is, if you had to do your old, I don't know if you've gone to your ESPN thing that says what are the chances the Orioles will make the playoffs, my guess would be they're probably in the 70s.
All right, let me check that. The division's absolutely attainable. They're two games back of the Red Sox in this thing, tied with the Blue Jays for the top wild card. People dismiss the AL East every year before the season, Jab, and you know, say that it's lost its edge. The East, in all likelihood, is going to have three playoff teams.
Yeah.
You know, and I get so freaking tired of hearing people at the beginning of the season talk about how it's lost its edge. A lot of that is because they, you know, they don't give the Orioles nearly enough credit.
By the way, the Orioles already passed Vegas predictions yesterday. 77.5. Eat one, Vegas. 78 for the good guys.
I'm gonna go out there and collect. All right, let's see. Orioles playoff odds. So division odds, this is from Fangraphs, 12% for the division.
You can see that.
Wild card is 44.7.
Wow.
So that's where
so they must have right a little now. Bit. Oh, I guess it's other, you know, the other teams too. They're taking an effect of who they're playing there as well.
Yeah, opponents the rest of the way. Yep.
I thought that series was fun. I mean, I know a lot of people really wanted them to get that game on Friday because Gossman, they thought they had their best chance. But how great is baseball? You look at the rest of the series. You got Zimmerman on deck, and you sent me a text, which I found interesting. You said Zimmerman lost it, or something about Jay Zim is overrated. That's what it was. The guy's been hurt this year a little bit, and I'm with you. I wanted him at the beginning of last year when they went to free agency, and a lot of people think he took a hometown discount to, what, 120, maybe 110 from Detroit to kind of stay in the Midwest, and he was early in the signing process. But he's been hurt a little bit, but he's really killed them because Verlander's been good. Fulmer's unbelievable. That guy's awesome. And they got some guys coming out of that pin. But to me, there's a lot of lazy at-bats by the Tigers, I felt like. I think that looks like a tired team to me.
How about this, Jeb? Miguel Cabrera in this series went 0-for-9. I mean, was a non-factor, struck out 4 times. Miguel Cabrera. And a couple times, I have to admit, most of this series was listened to on the radio by me. So, yeah. You know, I'm catching bits and pieces of, as you know, being
theater of the mind, Zach.
As you know, being an Orioles radio listener, Jab, sometimes not exactly the most clear explanation of what's going on. But you could sense the frustration from Cabrera. I know he was jawing with Adam Jones at one point, according to the radio, and I think Trumbo in Sunday's game. But you know, again, I think
Caleb too.
He's another Caleb as well. He's another one of these guys where. I think, you know, getting beat up on by the Orioles in a playoff series and then in a series that could possibly determine your playoff fate 2 years later might be wearing on this, you know, star around the league a little bit who was completely taken out and a non-factor in the last 3 games.
Yeah, and listen, he looked bad. I thought that Matt Wieters is the slowest player in baseball. I think Victor Martinez might be the slowest player, I mean, in sports. If he doesn't hit it out of the park, that guy could care. If it hits to short, Hardy could have had a sandwich, had some, like, you know, threw it around the infield, and they're still going to get Martinez out as he's running to first base. It just kind of looks, they kind of look like a team that maybe is, you know, we've seen that too with the Orioles too, you know, like some of those at bats. I feel like the Orioles were really into this series. I love that stuff before the game. I love that camaraderie on the dugout. And, you know, Michael Bourne coming in here and Dan Duquette. Man, can you talk more about Dan Duquette? What a fantastic GM this guy has been. Picking up guys at the deadline, picking up guys after the non-waiver stuff.
You're killing me, Jeb.
Michael Bourne has just been, I mean, it's been a godsend. You know, I obviously my tongue's in the side of my cheek, but I have to give Dan credit because he's done a really good job with a waiver, non-waiver, that type of deal. And Buck obviously doing a great job of putting them in where they need to play. I think your boy Stubbs will get in the lineup tonight against David Price because I feel like that right field is a little scary to have Trumbo out there. I think you should probably have this loaded with righties. I think Stubbs will get a start tonight out in right field. And maybe Reimhold out in left. We'll see. I don't know how they're going to, you know, configure it. But I just kind of like the way that this – and even, you know, I don't know if you noticed this, Zach. The Orioles are kind of playing, quote-unquote, Orioles small ball. I mean, there's guys butting people over. Kim tried to steal a base yesterday. That was crazy. I was like, what? He missed a sign. But just in general, they're playing great defense again. My boy Scope's heating up, I think, at the right time now, too. 2 big home runs in that series to get him to 23, which I still need 3.5 more somehow. So, Johnny, if you can pull it off for me, I need that Tito's. But in general, Zach, I like where this team's at. And I'm going to ask you this question I asked of some friends this weekend about. Because everybody's up and down. This Oriole fan base, especially on the Twitters and all the other social platforms, are always, we're out of it. How many times does somebody say we're out of it? We suck. This season's over, blah, blah, blah. Well, this team's 14 over right now, Zach. And if I told you before the season that going into a Red Sox series with the chance to get into first place by sweeping the Red Sox, would you take it?
Yeah, absolutely, I'd take it. And based on my crappy preseason predictions, I would call you a liar because I undersold this team as well. I made fun of Vegas, but I undersold it as well. And you. Yeah, you're right. Yes. And you know what else? Going back to the whole Miguel Cabrera thing, and Miguel Cabrera, again, is having an absolutely fantastic season. He's the leader of that team. The leader of this team, the leader of the team that I root for, Jabby Burns, is Adam Jones, who is not necessarily having the greatest season and is beginning to, you know, show signs of aging and is a little bit slower out there in center field than he has been in years past. But you know what? In the biggest series of the year for the Orioles, he goes out there and in 11 at-bats, picks up 6 hits, hits a big home run in game 2, and is an enormous factor in why his team, the leader of this team, why his club goes out and takes two out of three from the Tigers. So I'll freaking take my guys. I like these guys. I like our guys, Jabby Burns.
I love our guys. And Zach, you talk about it, Captain, I like to call him on the Twitters.
Yep.
He just – I think about some of the defensive plays he made too. And that ballpark, which center field is huge. I mean, it makes Rockies look tiny. I mean, that thing is enormous. He covered all kinds of ground. I don't think he's healthy by any stretch. You could see him kind of always legging up, whether it's a back or a hamstring or whatever it is. But that guy grinds, and he is the catalyst. When he hit that home run, I think that was Saturday, right? The Saturday homer that he hit, he just basically ambushed Jay Zim. And how many first pitches does Adam swing at? He goes up there.
A lot.
And who wouldn't? It's usually a fastball right down the middle, so why not swing at it? I'm with you, brother. And if we're gonna make a run, I want to have that guy as my captain as opposed to a grumpy old man like Cabrera. give me Adam Jones 10 days out of 10. The part that I'm going to hate this weekend, Zach, and let's preview real quick what's going to happen this week with the Red Sox. Our old buddy David Price on the bump. I don't know how many times the Orioles have seen him, but it's a lot. So they know what to get there. And were you surprised that they're skipping Gallardo and going with your boy Miley?
I guess. Yeah, a little surprised, but I don't know what choices they have. Those two guys for me are, you know, it's sort of a flip of the coin, but what's Buck seeing here? What numbers am I missing for why he would choose one over the other?
My guess would be that Miley pitched there in the past, so he used to pitch for the Red Sox, so he has maybe some familiar faces over on the other side. I was looking at their splits against Miley. There's not a lot of sample size for the Red Sox. I think only Ryan Hannigan has some numbers against him. Hanley Ramirez has 24 at-bats with a home run, and Chris Young, who'd probably be in the lineup against Miley tonight. I think they'll try to load up right-handed just like we did. But the Orioles, on the other hand, they got a lot on the other side. You know, Manny Machado's got two bombs off Price.
Stevie Pierce might be your left. ERA is David Price's career against the Orioles.
Yeah, I think you'll see this lineup be interesting. I think Steve Pierce will probably be in left because he knows that play that monster a little bit better. And I think Stubbs will be out in right tonight because defense is so big in that ballpark. The way the way they kind of handle that, and Trumbo will be your DH. And Trumbo's hitting .321 with in 28 at bats, two homers, and seven RBIs against one David Price. And I do know one player that the Red Sox are scared about, and it is Chris Davis. They could pitch around him more than I've ever seen any team pitch around Chris Davis. And Chris Davis loves Fenway North. I mean, we really, 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 really do a good job up there, or Camden North, as we like to call
Camden
it.
Camden North.
I think that you're going to see somebody. The other one that I want you guys to kind of watch out for in this series is J.J. Hardy. I feel like J.J. Hardy has got some big, big time at-bats for the Orioles, playing fantastic defense. I don't want the ball hit to anybody else in a crucial spot. Sorry, Manny Machado. I'm going to take J.J. Hardy 10 days out of 10 as long as it's hit right at him. I just like going into the series. I feel like there's a lot of momentum going. I also know this. The Red Sox used close to like 9 pitchers yesterday in that softball game they played up in Toronto. And so their bullpen's depleted a little bit. If you can get to Price early, you can really set the stage for the rest of the week too, Zach, because if you beat them up early, get into their bullpen early, you know, then that kind of helps everything kind of going forward, because I think the Orioles are set up pretty well. I have to give some props to the bullpen. Your boy, I understand your boy Brock gave up a homer on Friday night, okay? I'm sorry. His stuff's starting to look a little better to me. The velocity's up a little bit. Ball's moving a little bit. But did you find it interesting that Buck went Brock Givens Britton yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, I did find that interesting.
Because I thought it was like going to be a Givens, like Hart type situation, but I don't think the Tigers have a left-handed hitter. If you look at that lineup, they really
feel that way.
But I think the bullpen should be nice and rested going into the series, because you need that when you go into Boston. You never know. You could play high-scoring games there. The Orioles have done really, really well up there. So I'm looking forward to it. But again, I always say this. The first game is very, very crucial, especially when you're chasing the other team, right? You just really want to get them. If you can beat their ace, and then they got Pomerantz, and I think is it Suckholtz is going to pitch the third game? I don't know if it's Suckholtz or one of those other guys. Oh, no, it's Porcello.
Oh, okay, it is Porcello.
That's fine. Yeah, Suckholtz is they're gonna skip and get Porcello, who's been really good.
He has been good. He's got 20 wins. Say. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll talk about those as we go. But I think this first game could be really, really big for the Orioles. I expect some runs to be scored tonight, though, Zach. I just do. I know that Price has been a little better of late, but I don't know. I feel like the Orioles can get to him, and I know that the Orioles are going to need to score some runs with Miley on the bump.
You know what other matchup I love? My favorite matchup in this series. That would be Buck Showalter versus John Farrell. And
you really
again,
dislike
I do, but I also really like Buck Showalter. Again, okay. when when the standings are as tight as they are, and they are incredibly tight in the AL East and the American League in general, I just love the fact that I don't have to worry about, you know, questionable decisions being made by the manager. And if I'm a Red Sox fan, if I'm a Blue Jays fan, that's another, you know, thing I've got to worry about the rest of the way here with whatever it is, 20 games remaining or so on the schedule. So I love that. I love that the bullpen for the Red Sox is going to be a little more tired than the Orioles bullpen, because it just means that we might see even worse decisions made by John Farrell over the next three games. So,
so we can hope for.
I feel good. I like it. I like how they're playing, and I do, man. I do. I know everybody says it, and it's the cliche thing to say, but I feel pretty good about this bunch. So I'm excited for the next few games.
Are you worried about the Yankees?
No, okay. I'm not. I know they're playing well, and they deserve the, you know, the credit.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from it. I just think it's interesting because after the Orioles get done in Boston, we come home and play the Rays, the Devil Dogs, for four, and then you got New York at Boston after that. So something's going to happen there, and that's the whole thing. I wasn't that worried because there's so much of this head-to-head going to be happening here down the stretch that, you know, guys are going to be knocking off guys. I was trying to figure out this weekend. I was so torn this weekend, Zach. I couldn't figure out who to root for. Am I rooting for the Red Sox or am I rooting for Toronto? And Miss Burns pointed out the smartest thing, and that's why she's smart and I'm dumb. She said, Josh, what does it matter? If the Orioles win, who cares?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? You're right. So we got to take care of business. That's why I married her, Zach.
Because she's smart.
She's smart, and she doesn't take this stuff emotional like I do.
Oh, I do as well, man.
Speaking of motion, I was also, as we finish up here, is again, I just want to really reiterate how important the 1-9s are to Zach and I's 300th show. Zach, I have to give you props for, like you said, putting up with me, putting up with you, putting up with my dumb dog Manny and all the other chaos, kids in the car. We know we do the show from up on the West Coast. We do the show in hurricanes. Doesn't matter. We're going to bring it to you. And again, we just appreciate it. And you know, just keep listening, spread the word as much as you can, and find us some sponsors.
That'd be great. Yeah, it does mean a ton to me. Anytime, you know, I see a tweet or Jeb sends me a message from somebody, it goes a long way. It means a lot. So I really appreciate everybody chiming in on, you know, the crazy things that we talk about. So thanks so much for that. It goes a long way, and keep them coming. 300 episodes, by the way, has flown by in an absolute flash. So looking forward to 300 more and the rest of the way. This crazy journey,
it's
crazy
day-to-day,
show
baby.
We got.
I'm day to day. It's day to day.
It's been day to day for 300 episodes, right?
And BSR, the BSR pod we're gonna put the paddles to that again too. We're gonna get our boy Patrick in here. He's been quiet because his Mets are making a nice little heater.
I know. How about that?
Here. Kind of nervous now because they're playing the straight up with the Nats starting tonight, and I have a little wager with one Zach Wilt on that, who would win that division.
Yeah,
Strasburg's arm fell off, so that they got that going for him.
What a surprise.
Yeah, I'm very surprised about it. I'm surprised he took that deal before his arm fell off too. Very interesting. Weird that Boros didn't let a guy go to free agency. Huh, wonder if they knew something.
Yeah, that never happens except for when it does.
Couldn't happen to a better franchise. Luckily the Learners don't have any money, Zach. If they had any money, I would really be worried about
They'd be in big trouble if they had money. Yeah.
In big trouble. Well, he knows in big trouble tonight. David Price and those terrible Red Sox fans. Let's go, O's.
I know. I can't wait. I'm looking.
Oh, you mean you're not watching Redskins Steelers tonight, Zach?
I don't think. You know, I think I'm gonna end up missing that one. Unfortunately.
All right. But I guarantee you'll watch Niners Rams at 10 o'clock, right?
No. Isn't Chris Berman doing that one?
He is.
All right.
You don't want to see that douche Kaepernick sit down during a national anthem. You don't want to see that.
Going to be an early morning, so I'll probably sit that one out.
Okay. I'll send you the highlights.
Thanks. Looking forward to it. All right. 300 episodes in the books. Jabby Burns, thanks so much. It is, I truly mean it, always good talking to you, my friend.
You too, pal.
For Jab, I'm Zach. Thanks so much for listening to Baltimore Sports today. We will see you tomorrow for 301. Enjoy your Monday. Talk to you later.